Good morning and welcome to the now third season of All About Thailand. So I'd like to welcome everybody from Thailand,
Sawadee krap,
and of course the rest of the world. Good morning, and I hope everybody is fine. And today I would like to talk about what it's actually like to live in a village up in the northeast of Thailand, getting used to the culture and everything really, even down to the food, because the food is very, very different. So let's do it. Well, I haven't spent a good few weeks living in Bangkok. Well, let's just sort of just explain a good few months, sort of in a sense, living in Bangkok in the first instance, for the first time, and then shortly towards the end of my time in Bangkok, meeting my wife, and then traveling back to the UK, and then very quickly, probably about another 4 or 5 weeks, traveling back to Thailand, and then obviously spending some time in Bangkok and other places, and then meeting the family, which the family's up in the northeast. So it was a flight from Dong Mueang all the way up to Udon, and then about 3 to 4 hour drive. Now, I was obviously very, very excited about meeting the family and seeing the culture, but also as well, I was really excited about so many other things. You know, it's like a child really. It's like, oh wow, look, this is all just so very, very, very different. You know, can I give an example? Really, I suppose. Really, you do notice a lot of the temples. You notice a lot, even the people to a degree are different. You know, and I'll go into that a little bit more later. But even sort of like landing in Udon Airport, and you know, going outside, you can automatically sort of sense that, yeah, things are different. As I said, we went from the airport to the village, and when we got to the village, you know, everyone was all pretty much carrying on their sort of day-to-day sort of lives, really. You know, it's not like a village, it's more like a sort of big sort of town. A big main street and lots of obviously little independent shops, and a 7-Eleven, Big C, you know, and things like that that you begin to sort of come to get used to, and in a sense come to sort of expect, really. But you know, I can't explain the amount of actual excitement. So we went into the village, and we had some food first, and then obviously Kung was very, very nervous sort of introducing me to the family, because she couldn't speak very much sort of English, and my Thai was practically sort of non-existent as well. Also dealing with a different dialect. Oh, message. Also dealing with a different sort of dialect as well, which was sort of awkward, which I came to sort of like learn more sort of speaking Isan by the time I went back down to Bangkok than I was doing. Moving on. And so eventually got round to sort of like meeting all the family, and obviously I didn't understand what they were saying, they didn't understand me, there was a bit like a massive language barrier, but we all settled down and had some food, and it was at that point I realized that the food is just so sort of very, very, very different. Well, I ended up staying and living in the village for quite a few months, and you know, I've got to, yeah, we got like a little place that we sort of rented, a nice little house, which was really good, and we started having people round, and what you tend to notice is that it's such a friendly community. You're going round their houses and having food, and they're coming round to you. And we had quite a large sort of porch area, and it wasn't uncommon really to have as many as sort of like 30 people sort of turn up, and we'd be having some food. And it was really great because, you know, we made food, and they made some food as well. And like I said earlier on, the Issan food is very, very different. You've got the pataya salad, your santam, you know, you've got the fertilized sort of eggs. You've even got this other one, which I was telling someone about the other day. I don't know what it's called, or I can't remember what it was called, but it was like some ground up sort of minced beef. And which is, they tend to like, what's the word sort of thing? It's we would say over in the West that it's slightly tainted, slightly gone off, you know, but over, they say sort of fermented. So it's been like sort of fermented, and the, and it's quite heavy with vinegar. I can only imagine that the vinegar was there to stop the to kill the bacteria, I would have thought. But you know, there was I found, sort of coming from my culture, it was extremely hard to eat, and it would have possibly been hard to stomach such food, you know. But I did like the sweet corn. That was knocking about. I love sweet corn. And I did like the fried chicken. That the fried chicken was good, but we went to, there's a couple of very, very, very nice restaurants in the village. So we went to the restaurants in the village to eat, and the food was extremely nice there. So now this is what I'm always saying on the podcast now is have a look on the internet. Take a look at YouTube and see there, you know, there's lots of content from the creators on YouTube with regards to the food and everything else. So that would give you sort of more of a sort of an idea. But for me, living in the village was definitely a sort of changing experience. Well, we've reached that part in the show where I would like to thank and welcome the new listeners to the podcast, and also thank the existing listeners. Well, we are still pressing ahead with our sort of everything, really. The podcast is growing, as I've said before. Our community sort of channel on Facebook is growing, and thanks to everybody that's just sort of making this happen. The shop is doing fine, and obviously the proceeds of the shop are going to help certain charities around Thailand, obviously the Bangkok Community Help Program as well. So, you know, things are all going really well, and it's all down to you, so thank you ever so much. So anyway, let's carry on with the rest of the podcast. So living in the village on the outskirts of the town was pretty, like I said, was pretty amazing, and the people. If we were to go, like, let's say, on a few sort of months, going forward a little bit, let's say about 3 months now. Give it like a 3 month sort of snapshot. Been obviously making friends in the village. Got a bit more used to the language of Isan and was able to ask people how they were, and was able to do that. That's before I started really learning Thai. And, you know, it was very, very good. And like I said, we were having people around the house, and it was a very, 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 very lovely time, and getting to know Kung and her family a lot more. Now, the things that sort of stick in my mind, and the things that do stick, really, is the mornings. In the mornings, I'd have a sort of like a coffee and a sort of one of those sort of twizzly donuts. You guys know the ones I mean. And I'll be sitting there, sort of just sitting on the porch, just looking out at sort of everyday life. And what I used to like doing, I used to get up really, really crazy times in the morning. Now, I think I've mentioned this before, late at night, we could be bagging up rice and cooking off chicken, because we had a temple, which is just a bit further up the road, in which the monks used to come out and they used to do their dharma early in the morning. So they were there with the bowls. So, like, you know, it's sort of like just watching the sunrise, and then the monks arrive, you know, and giving them their rice and their chicken, popping that into the bowls and everything, and then they go off, and then just having another cup of coffee, just sort of enjoying the overall atmosphere. It's like two sides of the coin. Obviously, things are very, very different in Bangkok, so you know still have a very lovely morning, but you'd be having a different morning. Well, I was living in amongst a rural sort of like farming community, and one of the things I found with sort of like living there was, obviously you're not allowed to work on the farms or anything else like that, you know. You're not really allowed to take any work, do any kind of work whatsoever. And you know, this will sort of like lead into a little bit of a story. I know how much you guys like the stories and everything, but it's very, very different, as I said, to Bangkok. Like, I'd get up and do what I do, obviously with the Dharma, round about 10 o'clock. And the thing as well, to do with life and to do with Thais and everything in the way that they are, they do tend to eat, you know. In the West here, we sort of normally eat more or less like three times a day, don't we? You know, and but out there, it's as many times as possible, really. It's just lots and lots of very, very small sort of meals. It's almost like sort of continuously eating, really, you know. And as I said, you know, I found like a lot of times that Tesco's Lotus and 7-Eleven has got me out of eating certain types of food stuffs, you know, because you can't eat sweet corn and chicken all the time. You know, and although I did try the food, I didn't want to get a really bad sort of stomach upset. That's the only thing. There's a possibility. It's perfectly all right. It's just that having a Western stomach, just not going to be able to do that, you know. So, you know, it was very, very nice getting involved in the harvest. And what I decided to do, just as I'm doing this podcast, is I'm going to talk about it again next week in next week's podcast, possibly go into a little bit more detail as well, because the podcast is moving on. But I found the Thai people very sort of welcoming. I have heard of horror stories, but my experience was just perfect. So anyway, as I said, I'm going to lead in to a story, because now reaching the end of the podcast, but definitely going to talk about this more and more in depth, I think, because yeah, it's a really, really good subject, and I'd love for you guys to know about my life out in Thailand. Well, this part of the this beginning to the story is all about we'd had loads and loads of people that come round and have food, and we had quite a long night of eating and drinking. So the front porch area in the morning was obviously a little bit messy from like it's got dirty plates and glasses and that sort of strewn everywhere. So, you know, I sort of, as I do, I sort of tend to wake up early. I woke up early and I saw this out there. This, let me explain, this is like very, very early on. And obviously I waved at the neighbours across the way and I started to sort of clear up. You know, something we just normally do. I thought I'd help out my wife, you know, and have a little clear up. And then she comes through and she's going like, no, stop. Stop what you're doing. And it's like, well hang on a minute, I'm helping. She goes, oh no, don't, you not do, because it makes me look bad, you see. And I'm like, what? No. And obviously there's me clearing up, waving at the neighbours and everything else like that. But this is the thing about the difference in sort of culture, in a way, with this very, very short story, is the fact that she is in essence actually losing face by me sort of doing the clearing up, isn't, you know. And this is one of the things I found which used to frustrate me. It was I couldn't work and I couldn't sort of do the cleaning around the house. It may be some people's dreams, that's to be people, a person of leisure, but for me I was always sort of doing something. So anyway, thanks for listening to the podcast, and I hope you've enjoyed it. Next week, I'm going to talk about more in depth about the life in the village, and obviously the people of the village, and the characters that we've got in the village as well. There's characters everywhere. So I'd like to finish the podcast now, and please take notice of the rules that you might have in your countries for keeping safe. And we'd both like to say thank you for listening. It's been lovely to have you, and stay safe. We love you all.